perform his question in the grave? Who will carry out his question of the deceased in the grave?
The two angels, Munkar and Nakir. And these questions, what will the questions be? Three questions in the grave will be, what is your religion? Salaam alaikum. Who is your Lord? What is your religion? And who is your Prophet? Or who is this man who was sent amongst you? What will be the response of the believer to these questions? The response of the mu'min? What would be the response of the hypocrite in the grave, the munafiq? How will he respond to these three questions? So whereas the believer says, my Lord is Allah, my religion is Islam, my Prophet is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hypocrite, he will say, ha, ha, I do not know. I heard the people saying something, so I used to say it. What will then happen after this questioning and the response is, what will happen to the believer with regard to his grave? What will happen to the believer? That his grave will be made wide for him, very wide, and he will be a gate. A door to paradise will be opened for him. And with regard to the hypocrite, the evil doing unbeliever, with regard to him, then he'll be crushed in his grave. He'll be crushed to the extent that his ribs cross over. Intertwine, cross over, and a door to the fire will be opened upon him. What did Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to his companions after he completed the burial? What advice did he give to them? Said to the companions after the completion of the burial, that seek forgiveness for your brother and ask for firmness for him, for he is now just about to be questioned. Ask the companions to make supplication for the deceased for forgiveness and being made firm. Sheikh Al-Fawzan mentioned a point with regard to those who deny the resurrection, deny that there will be any resurrection after death. They deny that the dead will be brought out of their graves. Sheikh Al-Fawzan said, if this were true, this would necessitate something. If there's no resurrection, what would that necessitate? This would necessitate, if there were no resurrection, and therefore, as a result, no accounting for deeds, no recompensing, no reward for those who did good, no punishment for those who did evil and disbelieved in Allah, then this would necessitate for everything that has been, it was just without any purpose. This whole world and what occurred in it without any purpose, which would necessitate that Allah the Most High's actions would be without purpose. He's creating this world, he's creating what is in it and causing and willing whatever occurred in this world, that would be without purpose. And Allah the Most High is free of that. Allah the Most High is free of doing any action without without purpose. Rather, all of the actions of Allah the Most High have great wisdom behind them, and a purpose, are done for a purpose, that He created this world and whatever is in it for a great purpose. Who can remember what sound will signify the last hour? What sound will there be there to signify the last hour? The thur, the blowing on the horn. And who can remember who will blow on the horn? Who will blow on this tremendous horn? The angel that's given the duty of blowing upon it, and as Sheikh Fawzan mentioned, the angel called Israfil. And finally, Sheikh Fawzan gave an answer to those people who denied, those unbelievers and mushriks who denied the resurrection, and they said it's not possible. It's not possible that bodies which have rotted away have turned to bone, and then the bones have crumbled to dust. It's not possible for these things to be brought back to life, to be reassembled into a body. The scattered bones all over the place, it's not possible to bring them back together, and for life then to be put back into it. So they found this something amazing. So Sheikh Fawzan mentioned an answer to these people. Who can remember this answer, what the answer was to these people? This thing that they found extremely unlikely and impossible to imagine, and it's not possible. And Sheikh Fawzan mentioned the point, then who created these bodies in the first place? That they themselves will have to affirm that they were nothing before they were born, before they were created. They were nothing, they themselves were nothing. And yet Allah the Most High created them from nothing. He made them what they are, their bodies, and put life into them from nothing. So then it's even easier for Allah, even easier for Him to reassemble that which is existing but scattered. That's even easier for Allah. So if they affirm the first thing that they have to affirm, which is obvious, that they themselves were created and kept from nothing, then they should affirm that Allah the Most High is able to recreate and bring their bones and their scattered bodies back to life. That's even easier. So they ought to affirm that. Then with regard to the continuation, then the Imam Ibn Qudamah, he continued rahimahullah with this section. What we have here on page 209 of the Egyptian edition, page 205 of the Saudi edition, the Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah, he continued, وَيُحْشَرُ النَّاسُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حُفَاتًا عُرَاتًا غُرْلًا بُهْمًا. He said, and the people will be gathered on the day of resurrection barefoot, naked, uncircumcised, empty-handed. Sheikh Fawzan hafizahullah said in explanation, al-hashr, the gathering, is from the matters which it is obligatory to have iman in. It's obligatory to truly believe in them. And the hashr, the gathering, is the gathering together of mankind after they are raised from their graves. They will proceed from the graves to the mahshar, to the place of hashr, to the place of gathering. And it is a place where Allah will gather the first and the later people. I mean all of the people. The first people and the last people. All of them. It is a flat place, this mahshar, this place of the gathering. It is a flat place, having no raised parts, and no mountains, and no hills. It is a flat, level earth where they will gather. In a footnote here, they say, refer to the hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'ad, reported by al-Bukhari as hadith 6521 and Muslim. And Sheikh Razan continued, the caller will cause all of them to hear, and each person will see all of the people. As the scholars explain this hadith, the hadith reported by al-Bukhari, hadith 3361, meaning everyone will hear. When the announcement is made, when the call is made, everyone will hear it. And because the plane is flat, everyone will be able to see. Everyone. Mm-hmm. Sheikh Fawzan said, all of the created beings will gather upon this gathering place. They will be barefoot, having no shoes, naked, with no clothes upon them, uncircumcised, not circumcised. The foreskin which is cut in circumcision in the world will return to its place. They will be empty-handed, having nothing with them. They will possess nothing whatsoever, except for deeds. A'mal, except for deeds. Again, in the footnote they mentioned, refer to the hadith of Abdullah ibn Unais, reported in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and by al-Bukhari in his book Al-Adab al-Mufrad. And it is a hadith which is hasan, good. And as a side point, then it's declared, this hadith was declared hasan by Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah. We've had this hadith mentioned as a side point before, and it's a long hadith, a hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, that he heard of a hadith which another companion had, who was in Sham. So therefore Jabir radiallahu anhu, he got on a riding camel and he travelled for a whole month until he reached that companion. Who is the companion here? Abdullah ibn Unais radiallahu anhu, and he heard the hadith from him, part of it being this, what is mentioned here. The people will be gathered on the day of resurrection, as was mentioned here. Then back to the explanation of Sheikh al-Fawzan, he said, so they will stand upon the gathering place, and it is the gathering place where Allah will gather them all. هذا يوم الفصل جمعناكم والأولين فإن كان لكم كيد فكيدون ويل يومئذ للمكذبين. Surah Al-Mursalat, the 77th surah, ayahs 38-40, with the explanation, this is the day of judgment, the day when Allah will judge between his servants with the truth. We have gathered you and all the earlier peoples, so if you have any kaid, any stratagem, any plot, then make it. I mean, they will have no such plot on that day. Woe on that day to the deniers. Then Sheikh Fawzan meant, or rather the Imam Ibn Qudamah, the author rahimahullah, he continued, فَيَقِفُونَ فِي مَوْقِفِ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يَشْفَعَ فِيهِمْ نَبِيُّنَا مُحَمَّد صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said, So they will stand in the standing place of the resurrection until our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercedes regarding them. Sheikh al-Fawzan said in explanation, their standing in this gathering place will be long, and the sun will draw near to them, and sweat will pour out from them, and it will cover each one of them in accordance with his deeds. Obviously, as it occurs in the narration, as the scholars have explained, meaning that it will, as the Prophet ﷺ explained, some people it will be up to their shins, some people up to their knees, some people to their waists, and some people it will be like a bridle for them, as was mentioned in the hadith of Allah's Messenger ﷺ, meaning the worse a person's deeds are in this world, then the more he'll be drowned in the sweat on that day. So Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, and sweat will pour out from them, and it will cover each one of them in accordance with his deeds, to the level of his deeds. So they will be struck by severe heat and severe distress and severe fatigue because of the long standing. For 50,000 years. So then they will turn to each other to find something to release them from this standing, whose time is prolonged and whose condition is severe. So they will say, there is nothing else for you except for ash-shafa'ah, except for intercession. There must be someone to intercede for you with your Lord, so that he should release you from this standing. So therefore they will go to Adam, the father of mankind, and request from him intercession, ash-shafa'ah, with their Lord. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, and requesting intercession from one who is alive and able, there is nothing wrong with this, that you request from him to intercede for you with your Lord. The people that on that day, they'll go to Adam alayhi salam, like the rest of the people will be alive again, they'll go to him and ask him to intercede with their Lord. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, there's nothing wrong with this, because on that day he'll be alive, he'll have ability, so they'll go and they'll request him. So there's nothing wrong with a request like that. He said, meaning that he should intercede for you with your Lord. In case someone doesn't understand, what does it mean that they're asking Adam for intercession on that day? It means they go to him and ask him to make dua for them. That is what intercession means. They go to Adam and ask him to make dua to Allah for them. Then he said, and requesting dua, requesting supplication, is shafa'ah, is intercession. This is what intercession is, to go and ask that person to make dua for you. That is intercession. So then Adam alayhi salam will excuse himself, and they will go to Nuh, the first of the Rusul, the first of the messengers, and he will excuse himself, and they will go to Musa, and he will excuse himself, and they will go to Isa, and he will excuse himself, and they will go to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he will excuse himself, and in the end they will go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the final one of the prophets. So they will request intercession from the Ulil Azam. The people will request intercession from those five who were the firmest in resolve. And those five messengers who were the firmest messengers in resolve: Adam and Nuh and Ibrahim and Musa and Isa and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah extol them and grant them peace and security. So he said, so the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam will say, ana laha, I am the one for that. In a footnote they mention a hadith being reported by al-Bukhari as hadith 7510, and by Muslim from a hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. So therefore the intercession for them will be accepted with Allah. The intercession for them will be acceptable with Allah. However, no one intercedes with Allah initially, I mean straight away, contrary to what some people say. Sheikh makes the point, no one will just straight away off his own back, no one will intercede with Allah initially except with the permission of Allah, the Majestic and Most High. Because Allah, the Majestic and Most High, is such that no one intercedes with Him, no one can intercede with Him except with His permission. Then the Shaykh continues with what's mentioned from the hadith. So he, I mean the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he will fall down in prostration, in sajda, and he will make dua, supplication to his Lord, and humbly beseech Him until he is commanded to raise his head. And it will be said to him, ask, you will be given. So he will intercede for the creation, for judgment to be carried out upon them. So Allah will accept his intercession. And then he, the Perfect and Most High, will come to pass judgment upon his servants. He himself, the Perfect, will come with a true and real coming. In Allah the Most High, He will come. After this intercession is accepted, Allah Himself, bidatihi, Himself will come with a true and real coming. However He wishes to pass judgment upon His servants. Just as He, the Most High, said, كَلَّا إِذَا دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكًّا دَكًّا وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. Surah Al-Fajr, the 89th Surah, Ayah 21. With the explanation, but no, when the earth is pulverized to dust, and your Lord comes, and the angels in ranks. Shaykh Fawzan said, He will come to pass judgment upon His servants. And just as occurs in his saying, He the Perfect, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظُلَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَقُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ وَإِلَى اللَّهِ تُرْجَعُ الْأُمُورُ. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 210. With the explanation, do they await except that Allah should come to them screened by clouds and the angels, and the affair is ended and all affairs will return to Allah? Shaykh Fawzan said, this maji and ityan, this coming, or he said, this is Allah's coming to pass judgment upon His servants. It is a maji and an ityan, a coming which befits Him, He the Perfect and Most High, and which befits His greatness. We affirm it for Allah just as He affirmed it for Himself, and we do not do ta'wil, we do not misinterpret it, we do not explain it away with ta'wil and say His command comes. I mean, as some of the people say, like the Ash'aris, they say it means, doesn't mean Allah Himself comes, it means His command, His amr comes. So Shaykh Fawzan said, we do not do ta'wil, we do not interpret it away and say it means that His command comes, because this is ta'wilun batil, this is a false and futile ta'wil, misinterpretation. Rather, He Himself, He the Perfect and Most High, will come as befits His Majesty, just as He wishes, He the Perfect. Then he makes a point, as for how, as for the kayfiyyah, as for how, then we do not involve ourselves with that regarding how He comes. Rather, we affirm Al-Maji, and we affirm the Ityan, we affirm the coming for Allah, the Majestic and Most High. By it that He will come, He Himself, as Allah informed about Himself, He the Perfect and Most High, and He will pass judgment upon His servants. Shaykh Fawzan mentions the phrase حين يشفع فيهم نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, when our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم intercedes regarding them. And the word here حين, as in both these editions, and obviously in the text we have the word حتى, until our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم intercedes with regard to them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is al-Shafa'at al-Uzma, this is the greater intercession. And he mentions the point that we've had before in the other books, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has many intercessions, many different types, or a number of different types of intercession. Some of them are particular to him, and some of them he shares along with the prophets and righteous people. In some intercessions, as this one here, the greater intercession for the actual judgment to begin, this is particular, only the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will have this intercession. And then there are other intercessions which he does, and which others from the prophets and righteous people can intercede with. Then the Shaykh said, and from the intercessions which are specific to him is al-Shafa'at al-Uzma, the greater intercession, this one. And it is the intercession with regard to the people of the standing place. This is particular to him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it is al-Maqam al-Mahmood, it is the praiseworthy standing. Another name it can be called, the greater intercession, and another name for it is al-Maqam al-Mahmood, the praiseworthy standing. And the meaning of both these is the same: the intercession for the people who are standing there waiting in the standing place, doing intercession for them, that judgment should be begun upon them. So he said, and it is the praiseworthy standing, al-Maqam al-Mahmood, which Allah mentioned by His saying, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكْ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. Surah Al-Isra, the 17th Surah, Ayah 79, with the explanation of this ayah being an address to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and during the night get up and offer prayer with the Qur'an, with recitation of the Qur'an, as an extra duty upon you in particular, as an extra duty upon you in particular. Allah will certainly raise you to a praiseworthy standing. Into this praiseworthy standing here means this intercession, this greater intercession. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, it is called the praiseworthy standing because he will be praised for it by the earlier and later peoples, alayhi salatu wassalam. This is the greater intercession. And the rest of the types of intercession will follow. We will follow in this book later on. I've mentioned of the other types of intercession. So here it's just mentioned this one type, which is the greater intercession, which is also known as al-Maqam al-Mahmood, praiseworthy standing, meaning intercession when the people are standing, they've stood for so long, for 50,000 years they've stood waiting in the heat for the judgment to be passed upon them, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will intercede to his Lord and make dua to Allah the Most High that it should be begun, the resurrection, the judgment rather, should be begun. So this is the greater intercession. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah, he continued, رحمه الله ويحاسبهم الله تبارك وتعالى. And Allah the Exalted and Most High will bring them to account. Or and Allah the Exalted and Most High will reckon them. Bring them to account or reckon them. يحاسبهم. He'll do حساب of them. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, Allah will bring them to account. Al-Hisab, the reckoning, means he will face them with their deeds and will question and examine them about them and will make them acknowledge them. As for the unbelievers, then they will not be reckoned with a reckoning involving the weighing of good and bad deeds, because they will have no good deeds. However, they will have a reckoning, they will be brought to account with an accounting involving confession only. They will be asked to confess to their deeds, and they will confess to them, they will acknowledge them. In the unbelievers, there will be a reckoning upon them, but not the same as the reckoning of the believers. There will be no weighing for the unbeliever, no weighing of his good deeds against his bad deeds, because they will have no good deeds at all to be weighed left. So they will just be made to affirm their evil deeds. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, as for the mu'minun, as for the believers, then they will be given a reckoning involving the weighing between their good and their evil deeds. And from the believers there will be some who do not have any reckoning at all upon them. They will enter paradise without any reckoning and any punishment. No reckoning upon them and no punishment. No hisab and no adab. As occurs in the hadith of the 70,000 people who will enter paradise bila hisabin wala adhab, without any reckoning and any punishment. In a footnote they mention a hadith being reported by Muslim from a hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, and reported by Imam Ahmad from a hadith of Imran ibn Husayn, and it is a hadith which is sahih, authentic. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan continued, and some of them, meaning with regard to the believers, so there are some believers who will enter paradise without any reckoning at all. Then he said, and some of them will have hisaban yasira, some of them will have an easy reckoning or a light reckoning, and he will go back to his family in joy. And he mentions a third type, or a third category with regard to the believers and the reckoning. And from them there will be those who will have to give answers regarding his account, and the reckoning will be made heavy upon him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, and he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man nuqish al hisab udhib, whoever is closely examined, who is given a close examination, in ways, as people knowledge point out, meaning ways asked each thing individually, is asked about each thing that he's done. He has to respond to each individual thing. So the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, whoever is closely examined regarding his account will be punished. In a footnote they mention, and this is reported by Al-Bukhari as hadith 6536, and by Muslim from a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. Then Shaykh Fawzan hafizullah summarizes this and says, so these are the types of the believers with regard to the hisab, with regard to the reckoning. Some of them will have no reckoning and will enter paradise without any reckoning and any punishment. And some of them will receive a light reckoning, an easy reckoning. And some of them will receive a reckoning where they are questioned in detail and have to answer, and will have it made difficult, and he may be punished because of his sins. So he mentions the three kinds of the believers with regard to the reckoning, the hisab. And as for the kuffar, as for the unbelievers, then they will not receive a hisab, they will not receive a reckoning involving weighing between good deeds and bad deeds, because they will have no good deeds. Rather, they will receive a hisab, they will be given a reckoning of acknowledgement, or a reckoning of confession. So they will confess to their sins. And that is, with regard to unbelievers, that's what they'll have to do, just to confess to their sins only. And then this section, being a long section, it continues after that. We leave what continues till after, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? With regard to the point that the Sheikh made, with regard to Ulul Azam, then in addition to the Ulul Azam, obviously first of all the people will go to Adam alayhi salam, and then he will go to the prophets of the Ulul Azam, the messengers of the Ulul Azam, the ones who are mentioned after him. Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salam, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for the standing, which will be 50,000 years, the standing which everybody will have to stand in, then the length is confirmed, the length will be 50,000 years long. As for whether it will seem that long for the believers, then Allahu A'lam. Shaykh al-Albani, rahmahullah, he authenticates a hadith in his Silsilat al-Ahadith al-Sahihah. He declares the hadith to be, I can't remember, Hassan or Sahih. Either Hassan good or Sahih authentic, that it will be made for the believer, it will be made to seem like the distance between two of the obligatory prayers, like the time just between the Dhuhr and the Asr prayer. That's how it will seem for the believer. So if that hadith is authentic, then the answer to that question would be, for the believers it will seem that it just to be like the time between the Dhuhr prayer and the Asr prayer. And if the hadith is not authentic, then not. Wallahu a'lam. Yeah. Because Adam alayhi salam was a prophet, yeah, as the Buddha said. Adam alayhi salam was a prophet, Nabi. Whereas the Ulul Azam were from the Rusul, the messengers. Yeah. Nuh alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. They're the five Ulul Azm from the messengers. Yeah. Yeah, after gathering straight away. Thank you.